You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right, hold on. Here we go.
Welcome to the My Aggie Nation podcast. I'm Travis Brown, and on this week's episode, we're talking to Lexi Smith of the Fighting Texas Aggie softball team and pitcher. She's going to give us a little inside look on that team and what's going on with all of their winning ways. We'll also talk a little spring football, playing them football going on, leading up into Pro Day and Friday Night Lights this week. And one of our very own spent the past weekend out in Arizona doing the spring training thing, catching some rays, playing some golf, just basically living the dream out in Scottsdale. So we'll kind of get a little inside look on spring training and that Arizona life. And that man is the guy across the table from me, President Zachary Lance Armstrong Taylor.
Not nearly as burned as you would think I might be.
I'm actually more sunburned.
You're
than
a lot more sunburned than me. Well, you also are a little bit more pasty white than me, too.
So you're not wrong.
I've got that going on. But yeah, went out to Arizona this past weekend. Got to go visit a friend out there that I've known, gosh, since elementary school. I think we've been friends that long, but got to go out there and visit and go to some spring training.
I like how matchy-matchy y'all were when you were playing golf.
Oh, yeah, it was totes press, right? Mm-hmm. She actually mentioned that afterwards because we took a picture. Her boyfriend took a picture of us. And, yeah, so we didn't even plan that out. It just happened, which is crazy. We'll talk a little bit more, obviously, about spring training. But from the golf point of view, she's a really good golfer. She played at UNT. And she's actually out there on the Cactus Tour, which is below the LPGA, obviously. But she's wanting to become a professional golfer, or I guess she is a professional golfer. And she also works out there at that golf course, and a gorgeous course, by the way. It's beautiful on Kala. I've been out there once before. But if you are not on the fairway, then you are in the desert, my friend. There is no getting out of that whatsoever. You're fighting off rattlesnakes, Gila monsters, scorpions, cactus, everything that you can possibly think of, and also houses, because there are quite a few houses.
Is Gila monster the proper pronunciation of that?
Gila monster?
That was Gila monster.
So the G is an H?
I think so.
Oh, well, whatever it is, they're ugly.
I've never heard anyone say a Gila
they're
monster
ugly
before.
And they're mean, and you don't mess with them. And I'm not a biologist. Whatever. Anyways,
you went to an agricultural and mechanical school.
In case you haven't noticed, we don't have a lot of Gila monsters around here. So just saying, I don't think they're an indigenous species to Texas. That's more or less the horny toad, or horned frog, as some people like to say, which shoots blood out of its eye.
Yeah.
So you got that going for you. But yeah, I got to go out there, and it was really a lot of fun. But like I said, the golf part, which I'm not very good at golf to begin with, and then I was using her clubs. I didn't have my glove. I didn't have golf shoes. So it was really bad.
I would be way thrown off because I use the double golf glove. I know it looks. Like I know it's weird.
Do you really?
Yeah. But so
we've golfed before. I don't remember you using.
Yeah. No. I wore two golf gloves because I would. Back in the day in Dallas, I lived like a block away from Topgolf, and when they first opened up, they had this great thing called an executive membership where you paid like $100 a month and you got to hit unlimited balls and you got bumped to the top of the line and they had special VIP bays.
Oh, wow.
And stuff like that. It was worth it because I would go like three times a week and just hit balls for a long time.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I would go and hang out with people and, you know, we'd get food and stuff and we'd hit for 4 hours, you know, on and off. But when you hit golf balls for 4 hours, you'll even rub blisters on the offhand. So I just started wearing two golf gloves because of that, and now I just can't.
That's so weird. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
But yeah, so got to go out and golf. Speaking of which, you mentioned Topgolf. I have a fantastic idea. If we have any people that are listening in with money, here's an idea for you. Opening up basically a Topgolf Lite in College Station. Obviously,
it would do great.
Obviously, a full-fledged Topgolf, I don't think you'd be able to sustain it just because there's so much. It's expensive. It's pricey. I don't think it would work here.
But here's the deal. At least the Topgolf in Dallas, the one by where I used to be, like in the middle of Dallas, had like a really great bar, and they had like DJs some nights.
Right.
It turned into like almost like a little mini club
on
the weekend.
That's what they're looking for.
And that would work here.
If you found some land, because they got land for sale up and down Highway 6, if you bought some land, turned it into maybe not necessarily a Topgolf, but kind of a Topgolf light, where it's a covered, shoot, you could get like a pavilion almost, and just have like some covered bays, and then have like a lounge area inside, and a bar, and a kitchen, and maybe even a stage for live music at times with speakers and TVs. Heck yeah.
I just think Top Golf would work here.
Because I've been
straight up Top
I
Golf.
Have been to the driving ranges around town, and they do a lot of business, and they're not very good.
Jackson Hole.
Well, I wasn't going to give them a shout out. I was just going to just. But yeah, that's pretty much the only one that I know of.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of tore up some, but they do great business out there.
They have like an automated ball dispenser thing. That's kind
of
nice.
So for any of you entrepreneurs out there that are looking for a fantastic idea, maybe Travis says Topgolf will be able to work here. I don't know. So, something just like Topgolf, but maybe not as expensive.
Topgolf isn't, I mean, it's not.
It's pretty pricey, especially for a college town.
Yeah, well.
In Dallas, it's a little bit different. Everybody has money up there.
Well, anyway, no, I don't know about that. Wow. But, so, here, speaking of, since we just went ahead and gave the shout out to the Jackson Hole driving range, the last time I went there, I experienced a faux pas in driving range etiquette, I feel like. Tell me what you think about this. No. So, I went at a very off hour.
Okay.
And you know, so I was the only one out there.
Okay.
So I got out there and I went way far away from the house and, you know, the little shack they have to pay and everything. Put up my clubs and started hitting. I was hitting for 5 minutes or so when another dude comes up and gets his, you know, range balls and starts walking out to the thing, and I watch him and he's walking closer and closer. And they have like probably 30 little bays or, you know, little dividers that
you can get into. Got roped off.
He comes over and decides that he needs to get into the bay right next to me.
Right next to you. It's almost like if you're at a urinal.
Right.
And there's several open urinals and they pick right next to you.
Give me some room, man. Like even if you want to feel the camaraderie of somebody, just
now,
like get like three away from me.
Now was he?
Say,
he might have been looking for if there was good grass. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into this. Was he a legit golfer?
He was just as good as me, so no.
So no. Okay, so he was bad.
I mean, yeah, you know.
So it shouldn't really matter.
No, you know, like I said, I'm a friendly guy. You know, if you want to come over and you know,
did he start trying to talk to you?
Well, no, actually, he didn't. But if his purpose was to, you know, strike up a conversation, have a little bit of good driving range camaraderie, that's great. Just get like three bays away from me.
Well, maybe he slices really badly and wanted to be to the left. So when he sliced it didn't like go
but
over the
there was
the
there was 10 or so bays behind
me
too.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, so you were like right in the middle.
Yeah, I was like left center.
Left center.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
You don't just come and stand in the bay next to someone when there's 25 available.
Could at least bought you dinner.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, no. I'm sorry that happened to you.
That's okay.
I know that's got to be rough. But
that's okay. Well, there's more
we'll
important.
Get through it.
There's more important things to talk about. There is
important things.
Spring football.
Oh yeah, so important.
Is blooming in Aggie land.
Aggie's looking real good this year. I think they might go all the way.
That there's your optimism.
I think they might win the SEC title.
Yeah. There you go. Can we mark that for a future podcast?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good.
Sure, we'll be sure to include that soundbite.
You know, so Robert Cessna and I did our first Periscope of the spring practice time the other day, and I mean, we probably should just go ahead and start this program off with the question that everyone wants to know and everyone wants to ask, and it's just the thing that is the most. The elephant in the room. Who's going to be the quarterback?
Who's going to be the QB?
I know we've kind of talked about this before, but we've been out at... Well, I think I've been... You don't usually come out to the pre-interview practice
time. I don't come out for stretching, no.
Yeah. So I've been out to a few of those, so I have a few notes. But I'll go ahead and let you start with your opinion on...
I can opine on who I think will be the starter?
Yeah.
I still think it's going to be Kellen Mond.
Really?
I really do. I think he gives you your best chance to win. Even as a true freshman, I think he has the playmaking ability and the dynamic ability to help you win ball games. And I don't see that necessarily coming from Nick Starkle. That's not necessarily saying he's a bad quarterback. You've seen what Jake Hubenek can do, and Hubenek, for as great of a teammate as he seems and as great of a guy as he seems and leader on the ball club, I don't think that he's got it. I don't think he's going to be the guy. But you have a different idea.
I do. I have to preface this opinion with saying that for those of you who don't necessarily know what access we might have during spring ball, about 1 to 3 times a week, when spring practice is going on, we're able to go out for the first 15 minutes or so of practice, which is the majority of that time is stretching, mm-hmm. and, you know, running and getting loose and watching the new strength condition coach. Is it Mark
Hockey?
Mark Hockey jump around and do barrel rolls and stuff because he's a very energetic individual.
And you get to listen to the live DJ.
They quarterbacks do some throwing drills, you know, just against air into nets, kind of target practice. Some special teams will do some blocking. And then if we're lucky, we get to see the offense run kind of a 2-minute drill against air. And then usually they come round us up and kick us out, and that's it. So I say all that to say what we have seen certainly necessarily isn't anything that
to write
means
home about.
Anything. Because, again, there's no defenders. There's no – it's literally playing against air.
Yeah.
That being said, I've kept a close eye on some of the accuracy of the quarterbacks, some of the throwing motion, some of the things that the coaches have talked to them about.
Been breaking it down.
I don't think Kellen Mond will start this year. That is just my opinion. That is not based on anything other than what my eyeballs have seen. He certainly has the reputation of being just a freak athlete, which, mm-hmm. you know, he is. And I'm sure he would be able to run the ball and everything like that. But he doesn't have a very good throwing motion. He has a really, really not great throwing motion. And his accurate, at least, again, throwing against air.
Against the wind.
Exactly.
Running against the wind.
They were playing that song on another radio station I was listening to driving in here, like 5 minutes ago. But
it's a good song.
His accuracy is one of those quarterbacks that is going to have great legs, at least to start out with, and I feel like probably not the best throwing abilities, which is something that A&M has become accustomed to here the last couple of years. But on the other hand, Nick Starkle has really impressed me.
Yeah?
Kid has a cannon of an arm. And I'm kind of basing that a little bit off of one practice last week. Can't remember which day it was. One of the practices last week, it was about the windiest out on that field that I've seen it since I've moved to College Station.
West Texas
it was
winds.
Real windy. And it was blowing right across the field. And every single one of the quarterbacks, when they were, you know, dropping back, three-step drop, throwing it into the net about 15, 20 yards downfield, they were not hitting the net. The balls were wobbly. The wind was really getting to them. And I tell you what, Nick Starkle's perfect spiral, closer to the targets than anyone else was. He was actually kind of hitting the net. And I'm not saying that to say that all the other guys were doing – it was windy enough that it would have affected just about anybody's passes. And
what you're saying is he's the Aggies' wind QB. That if it's really windy out, then he'll get the start. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So I'm not saying that I think Nick Starkle is your QB1 to start out with, because I think there's still plenty of time, and you never know quite what kind of strategy. They might just want to go with the running quarterback who can – maybe dink and dunk and dime passes down the field for the season, because Mond, and here's the deal. There is plenty of college quarterbacks that have been very, very successful that have had terrible throwing motions. Case study,
Philip Rivers.
Tim Tebow.
I mean, Tim Tebow had a terrible throwing motion, and he was very successful. So that's not to say that Kellen Mond isn't the guy, and he can't get the job done really well and still have a terrible throwing motion at the college level. That being said, if I was had to put odds, my own T. Brown house odds on quarterbacks, the odds would be good for Starkel right now for me.
Right out of the gate. Because before you were saying, what, Hubenek starting and then Starkel coming in later?
I think I started out with Hubenek starting and then Mond second and then Starkel.
Which, again,
and
I don't think, obviously, Kevin Sumlin would not go into a season with that kind of plan. He doesn't have time for that. It would be a desperation-type move if you end up laying a big goose egg against UCLA right out of the get-go, and the offense can't get going, and then you have to work your way around. Mond is definitely the most heralded recruit out of the quarterbacks.
Sure.
And that's obvious. A lot of people know his name. IMG Academy guy, tons of great talented players come out of there. So that stands out to a lot of folks right off the bat. But again, as you talked about, you can't overlook either that Starkel has spent a year in this system and that he's gotten acclimated to it. And physically, you can see the gains. He's got gains, bro.
He's got gains. And
he has. He's gotten a lot bigger.
As stupid of a qualifier as this always is, I will admit to that, but more so than just about anyone I've ever covered or talked to, he looks like a quarterback. That guy is tall and broad shouldered. I mean, he is a intimidating force of a specimen back there.
Argyle Christian.
And I mean, he has that quarterback frame for sure. I'm not saying that I think Starkel necessarily is going to be the guy, but I think that if everyone kind of thought it might be between Hubenek and Mond heading into fall camp, you know, between the two, Starkel's right in that mix, I would have to think.
Well,
I'm not going to put him in that threesome, but Connor Blumrick has looked really well, too. Really good, too. I mean, he has a very accurate arm, and he can run the ball. So, they might really have some options here.
Well, and that's something that they haven't had in the past. So definitely good, and of course the big thing is how long will they stay here? That's another thing. Not trying to be all doom and gloom here, but if they generally like being at Texas A&M, they want to be Aggies, so they want to fight for a starting spot, then that's fantastic. But in this day and age, you get so many guys that transfer; it's incredible.
Yeah.
But anyways, story for another time.
Yep. And pro day tomorrow.
Pro day. So much fun, pro day.
Yeah, lots of...
Well, we talked about this.
Lots of underwear Olympics in Aggieland.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier. Have we gotten a list of everybody who's going to be competing? Again, I've been out of town.
I have not seen anything, no.
I didn't know if we had gotten a list of everybody who's going to be participating. I highly doubt. Well, actually, I'm about 100% sure, really. Not even 99.99% that Myles Garrett will not be doing anything tomorrow other than talking with us if he does do anything.
Yeah.
He might be meeting with coaches and scouts and things like that, but he's not going to be doing any kind of physical stuff.
Right. I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of the Trevor Knight show tomorrow.
Yeah. Going to be Trevor, a lot of those guys who are kind of on the edge of either getting drafted or looking to up the ante from, say, 7th and 6th to 5th and 4th.
We'll be interested to see if Speedy Noyle and Ricky Seals-Jones will be out there.
I didn't think about that.
Ricky, I got to catch up with a little bit out in Los Angeles. He's training out there. Surprisingly enough, he's training with Fox Sports insider Jay Glazer at his gym out in L.A.
Oh, yeah?
You don't
mess with the Glazer, bro.
No.
He's trying to fight several people.
Apparently, he now has the side gig of training college players for the combine and draft.
I did not know that.
I didn't either.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah, so that's a thing that's happening.
Out of everybody, you could be... I mean, his uncle is Eric Dickerson.
Yeah.
You would think he would know some people.
Yeah, but he's out there training with Jay Glazer.
Okay. Hey, man, if Jay Glazer can get him going in the second or third round, more power to Jay Glazer.
There you go. Not a bad gig for Jay Glazer either, kind of, you know, developing these relationships early.
Well, I was about to say, because he's kind of that guy that likes to hang out with the players and enjoy libations with them from time to time.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if he'll make that trip in from the West Coast and participate, because I think he's one of those guys on the fringe, or at least in later round.
I think it would help
options
him
for sure. Yeah.
If he's healthy.
Didn't post numbers that made you gonna, you know, stop down and check it out very much at the combine. So
yeah.
Anyway. That's about all the football talk that I think we need to get into, because
Ags look good.
You know,
I think it's going to be a good year. This is the year. It's finally
you heard it here from Zach Taylor himself. We'll mark that and play it back in about November and see where we are.
Best team in the spring so far.
Definitely. They're really undefeated in spring practice. Pro Day Thursday, Friday Night Lights, Friday. And then you get your spring game week from this Saturday. And that will be it with spring ball. And I think all the people in the media will rejoice, because spring ball is a beating. Let's just be real.
This is true. Let us be real.
Yeah. Anyway, we're moving on in the My Aggie Nation podcast. And next, we sat down with Texas A&M softball pitcher Lexi Smith.
She has a beautiful singing voice, by the way. I heard it's a mix of like Fergie and Jesus. God. I already took it.
Come on,
right before
bro.
You can put it in there. Sorry.
Come on. Well, I think it sounds more like Beyonce and Jesus.
Oh, Beyonce.
She said that she sings the Queen Bay on the buses.
She's a Bay Leaver.
Yeah. Well, anyway, now it's time to walk down that left field line. Pull up a chair, make a little circle around the bonfire, because it's story time with Keeley Milligan. It's Keeley's Corner. She's going to tell us about that week in Aggie softball. Keeley, what's going on?
Hey, guys. So this past Wednesday, we played A&M Prairie View at home, and we beat them after 5 innings, 15-0. It was a pretty decisive game for us. We were in control the whole time. A&M Prairie View just didn't have much to throw at us that we weren't going to hit. So after that took us into the weekend versus Missouri at home. Now, the first game, we looked like we just carried on from Prairie View, and we run-ruled them 8-0. So then we were feeling pretty good about ourselves for the rest of the weekend. After that, the next day, though, we came and we lost. They scored a pair of runs in the first inning and took us kind of by surprise. But that didn't stop us, because the very next day we came back and we won a come from behind victory. I think that might be our first in SEC play that we've won from behind. I could possibly be wrong, but it was definitely led by a 3-run home run from Sarah Hudek that put us ahead, and a home run from Tori Vidalis. And it was just really timely hitting. And I was excited to see us come out and play that way. And, you know, fight after a day of losing in SEC. It's not easy to run rule a team and then lose the next day, you know what I mean? So it was really exciting for us to fight a little bit and see what our pitchers exactly had, which I knew that they had fight in them, but our hitters as well. So I'm excited for that.
Welcome back to the My Aggie Nation podcast. Zach Taylor alongside Travis Brown. Joining us today is Fighting Texas Aggie softball pitcher Lexi Smith. Lexi, you guys are off to a really, really good start. Did you expect this coming in, or has this kind of been a surprise to you, a pleasant surprise?
No, I expected it. You know, we worked really hard in the fall and over Christmas break, so it wasn't any surprise to us. It's probably a surprise to other people, but to us, we've worked so hard for it, so we're not really surprised at all. We're really happy with the results.
Now, you pitched a couple of years at Temple Junior College, and then coming here, what kind of went into the process, and why A&M?
My dad was a Big 12 umpire, and I grew up watching A&M and Texas play against each other. And so I was like, you know, I told my dad, I want to be here one day. And, of course, at the time, I was a Cat Osterman fan. I wasn't a Texas Longhorn fan, but I was a Cat Osterman fan. But I loved A&M and, like, the atmosphere here. And so after my freshman year at TC, my coach was like, you know, give us your top five out-of-state schools and your top five in-state schools. And A&M was my number one. And so coach made it happen to where we were going to play them in the fall. And so
had a really good game against A&M in the fall, and then I came on my visit, and it just felt like home. And so I love the coach, I love the atmosphere, and I knew I loved the atmosphere, but when I came here on my visit, for some reason, it just felt like my home away from home. So I was like, this is where I want to be.
So you mentioned Temple High School. Are you Temple native?
Yes.
So how, what great of a day was it when Buc-ee's came to town?
Oh, gosh, I love Buc-ee's. My dad's house is, like, literally right by Buc-ee's, so I'm, like, always there.
That's what I figured. More importantly, though, and it's a question I know I've asked you a couple times after a game, but, you know, for the sake of the podcast, how cool or important has it been to join up with this team and be a part of pretty much a four-person pitching staff that kind of can flow and take where the next person's left off?
It's awesome. You know, I enjoy having a pitching staff. I've never had one. I've never been a part of a pitching staff. So to be able to come in and have one is really awesome. You know, it takes, if you do have a bad day, someone that whoever comes in behind you, you know, gets the job done. And it's really great to know that that can happen. So I love it.
Talking too much about pitches and stuff, what kind of roles does each person fill, in your opinion, as part of the staff?
We're all different, obviously, but we don't really have a certain role. You know, Coach Dill's like, oh, she tells us this, this, and this, and we're like, okay, we're just going to go with it. You know, we don't really have a closing role or a starting role. You know, we all just go out there and compete and do our thing. So I don't think we really have a role.
You talked about loving the coaching staff is one of the big reasons why you came here. What's your favorite thing, most favorite thing about playing for Coach Evans? Your favoriteist.
My favoriteist.
Your bestest.
Coach Evans is really straightforward and to the point, and I feel like she's honest with you. You know, some coaches beat around the bush or they will tell you one thing and they don't do that thing, you know, just because they want to get you there. But I feel like Coach Evans was honest and she's genuine and she's a great coach. And so I wanted to play under someone like her. And, you know, my dad has been around, like, in the Big 12. And so he was like, she's a great coach as well. Like, he could vouch for her, too. And so I think it's just she's genuine and she's honest and she is hard on you and expects a lot of you. And so I think that is something that I really love.
I didn't think about it, but as with your dad being a Big 12 umpire, I guess he's been chewed out by pretty much everybody. Not that's not a reflection on him. It just happens. But I guess he can kind of give you a little bit of an insight on that maybe.
Yeah.
And Coach Evans seems like she'd be a little easier to work with.
Yeah.
Now, the great stuff, but what would you say has been the hardest thing about transitioning here to A&M?
Probably the classes, you know, the school part. Softball-wise, it hasn't been anything major, but just the classes. You know, my first semester was a little rocky, but this semester we're on track to being really, really good, so I'm going to try not to mess it up.
Wait, what's your major?
University Studies Leadership with minors in sport management and recreational parks and tourism.
What do you want to do with that when you grow up?
I want to be a coach and a teacher, so...
Nice. She's on West Campus a lot, then.
Yes, right. I'm never on main campus. No. I'm kind of happy I'm never on main campus.
Deal with the train track.
No. I just get to, you know, park in lot 100 and be done for the day after that.
So what is a lot of new, not new, but a lot of people stepping up on the offensive side that maybe wasn't as productive last year. What's impressed you so far with the offense that you've seen and some of these hitters that have really stepped up and done good things this year?
The thing that I love is they work hard. You know, like, I see them, they have hitting groups every day, and they have hitting groups before games, and they come and hit at their time that they're supposed to hit before the game. And so they put in a lot of work, and, you know, sometimes it doesn't always go as they want to, but they don't let that first at bat, if they don't have a good at bat, affect their next at bat. You know, they're going to go out and they're going to get a hit, and they're going to have your back if something doesn't go, you know, you give up a home run or something like that. Like Tori always says, literally every time I've given up a home run for someone to tie up the game, Tori has said, I got your back. And you know what? She's hit a home run every single time. So it's just little stuff like that, like to know that they put in so much work, so they're going to get the job done. And so it's just on our part to get our job done as well.
Now, we've talked to Erica. We've talked to Keely. They both have been self-proclaimed two of the biggest pranksters on the team. What is the best prank that you've witnessed this season so far?
Oh, goodness gracious. I have to think about that one.
Erica said she liked tripping people. Is that right? Which is a little sadistic. I mean, that's like, that's not funny, haha. That's like, that could seriously hurt somebody.
Yeah, she likes to come behind you and kick your ankles, you know?
Oh, man.
So I try to kick her ankles to give her a little taste of her own medicine, but she never works. Well, I don't know if this is a prank, but we have like this laundry thing where all the towels go into, and we got in it one time, and they were pulling us around in circles, and then Erica was in it, and she fell over, and she actually hit her head pretty hard, so it kind of backfired on her, and I felt so bad because her head was hurting, but it was so funny.
You spin them around, and then have to like throw a ball at the straight as possible or something, you know, do like the dizzy bat race?
Yeah. Well, this is like in the middle of the locker room, so like...
completely safe.
Yeah, totally.
Sounds completely safe. Always safe around Erica Russell. Now, that being said, they are the big pranksters. You're the singer, is that right?
Oh,
you're the
gosh.
Singer, and because originally when we talked with Keely, I guess, first, and the spotlight is what you guys do on the bus. It's freshmen and anybody who's new, is that right?
Yes.
So you guys have to put the headphones in, so you're the only one that hears the music, and you have to sing along.
Yes.
And she said pretty much everyone has been terrible except for you. So that was pretty high praise from her.
Gah. I guess I don't know if I can sing that well. Everyone tells me I can, but I get scared of singing in front of people.
What was the go-to song? What did you sing on the bus?
I did Love on Top by Beyonce. One, because I love Beyonce, and I love Love on Top. Even though I can't necessarily hit those, you know, the last part of the song where she just changes key and goes higher. I can't do that, but the beginning of the song, I can do all right.
Would you have any other, like, go-to karaoke songs?
Let's see. Go-to karaoke songs.
Because when I do karaoke, I always pick a song that everybody knows the words to.
Yeah, I try to do that.
So they can drown me out.
Yeah, that's what I try to do.
And do Friends in Low Places or something.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Or Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. I like that one. Yeah. That's a good one. All the girls would be, like, into it, you know, so.
It's really...
Most of the guys, too, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either that, they'll be like, yeah, I did that.
Baseball bat, both headlights. And as you guys continue to go throughout the year, maybe for you personally, what are some personal goals for you?
Obviously limiting my walks and continuing to go at hitters and just trust my pitches and put it in the right location and just keep having fun and staying relaxed. You know, I don't tense up and try to do something that I normally wouldn't do. Try to do more than I can do. So I think that's my biggest thing.
Y'all have taken all three series so far in SEC play. For you, I know you said you've grown up watching a lot of softball. What surprised you the most about SEC play so far?
It's definitely, the whole lineup is stacked. You can't just worry about these three people. You have to worry about all nine and even who they put in. So that's definitely different on that side of things. But other than that, nothing has really surprised me, I guess.
Yeah. So another thing I noticed, when you are out there warming up, you, like, sometimes, at least I think, get, like, way back to the back of the circle and just, like, kind of Happy Gilmore it all the way up. That I was a bullpen catcher, and if I saw the pitcher, like, get behind the mound and, like, crow hop, I would just be scared out of my mind. Has any catchers you ever thrown to been like, what are you doing?
You know, it's funny that you say that, because my roommate Sarah, she'll catch bullpens sometimes, and she actually called me yesterday, and she was like, You by far have the scariest walkthroughs I've ever seen in my life because you look like you are sprinting at me. And I was like, I'm sorry, it's just for momentum to get my legs going. And she was like, no, it's fine, but it's just scary. Like the look on your face and you running towards me, I was like, oh, sorry.
Now this is Sarah Hudak?
Yes.
So for Sarah, obviously both of you guys are new, but she played baseball her freshman year. And what's she been like as a teammate? And obviously she's adjusting pretty well to softball.
Yeah, she's been really awesome. You know, she's also put a lot of work into it. It hasn't been easy for her, so she knows, like, she's put in a lot of work, and she's always happy. You never see her mad. She always has a smile on her face, and she's just funny. She's just kind of, like, funny, but she's also, like, one of those chill people that are funny, if that makes sense, just laid back and kind of, like, you know? Like, she's just chill but funny, and, like, she always makes someone laugh, and she always has a smile on her face, so she's been an awesome teammate.
A little bit more about the personalities on the team. I've done a blog post, and we've talked about the fact that Tori's doing her vlog. You've been featured on it a couple times, you know, in the bus and everything like that, from what I've kept up with. What it's been like having a teammate kind of documenting the season like that, and does she always have the camera out at all times?
It's been really awesome, you know, for her to have the courage to do something like that, because, you know, if you think about it, like, carrying a camera around and filming and taking pictures would kind of be nerve-wracking if people don't know what you're doing, but this is her dream, and it's something that she wants to work towards, and I think it's awesome that she's doing that. I haven't seen the camera out lately, but that's because she's not doing a vlog this week. But especially when we go on trips or, like, spring break, she always had her camera out so everyone could see. It just depends on what segment she's doing, how much she has her camera out. So, but I think it's awesome that she does that because if it were me when I was younger, I would want to know what goes on, you know, for a student athlete. And the fact that she's doing that, I think, is awesome, so people know.
How are we on time?
We are at 15 minutes.
Oh, well.
We had some set up time.
Yeah. Well, that'll wrap it up with the singing siren of the softball team, Lexi Smith. By the way, she's also, not this coming Sunday, but the next Sunday, is going to be singing the national anthem before the game against Oklahoma State. And then is apparently going to be starting that day as well, because she typically starts on Sundays. No, Saturday? Sundays?
I don't know. It just depends.
We'll find out. But either way, we want as many people there as possible.
No.
To
bring your cameras. Bring your camcorders. Bring, you know, a Goodyear blimp with a camera on it.
Just as long as the flash is off, because she doesn't like flash photography. But if you come up to her afterwards, she might sign an autograph. It all depends. But anyways, Lexi, thanks so much for spending time with us. Really do appreciate it. Good luck the rest of this year, okay?
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, that'll wrap it up for our segment with Lexi Smith. Coming up next, we'll just keep it rolling. You're listening to the My Aggie Nation podcast. Lexi Smith, the singing siren herself, joining us today on the My Aggie Nation podcast. First chance we've gotten to talk with Lexi this year, at least with me. And
good interview.
She is a delight.
Good interview.
She
with you, like, kind of, you know, hovering over her on top of your...
Whoa. Okay, keep going.
On top of the stationary bike.
Okay. It didn't sound right at first.
On a stationary bike.
It didn't sound right. But yeah. There's limited seating in the visitors' locker room at the Aggie Softball Complex, and sometimes we have to ad lib, and so there's a stationary bike that I'd like to sit on while we're interviewing.
Yes.
Our interviewees.
That's why I introduced you as, I guess we didn't really clarify that, as Zach Lance Armstrong Taylor, because you're getting your spin class on while we're doing the interview.
I need it, for sure. Speaking of which, Travis is trying to jip me out of $2. He's trying to go back on the bet that we
set
made.
It up.
So
set
last
it up.
Week, if you heard the podcast that we had for last week, we made a bet that it was after Texas A&M lost to UCLA, and of course you were there for that game.
Women's basketball.
And you were like, man, that UCLA team is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Gary Blair, the Cleveland Cavaliers got the wrong damn Korver.
Yeah, LeBron needs to get that Korver.
Yeah. They don't need Kyle, they need...
I don't remember.
The Korver that plays for UCLA, who happens to be a girl. So, We talked about this, and you said, yeah, I think that UCLA really can give UConn a run for their money. And I said, no, because UConn is UConn, and that's how top-heavy women's basketball is. It's UConn, and then it's everybody else. You might could throw Mississippi State in there now, too. Vic Schaefer and company knocking off Kim Mulkey and the Baylor Bears. But it's almost absurd just
now. Did
they
punch him right in the face?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Brittany Griner, yeah. Apparently, Brittany Griner really took that to heart. Remember a few years ago when she punched that Texas Tech girl in the face?
Well, that's
Do you
true.
Remember that? Yeah. So apparently, Kim Mulkey's been preaching that sermon for a while now.
Okay.
So, yeah, we made that bet, and you said that by the first media timeout of the third quarter that UCLA would be within 10 points of UConn. And I said no. I said that they would probably not even be within 15. So then we decided that we make a gentleman's bet of $2 exactly.
Mm-hmm. That is the bet of choice amongst most media members that cover A&M is
that,
$2.
That by the first media timeout, you said that they would be within 10 points, and I said that they would be over. So you took the under, I took the over. And I'm currently trying to find the box score so I can give you visual proof, because I'm not for sure. Did you watch the game?
No.
Okay. So they stomped Oregon 90-52. May the Ducks rest in peace. Here we go.
Quack, quack, quack.
So on Saturday, they played UCLA, beat them 86-71. So if anything, you can at least say UCLA played them closer than Oregon did.
Sure.
So let us see in the play-by-play here. We got to go to the third quarter. I don't know exactly when the first media timeout was, but it makes it easy for us because guess what? All throughout the third quarter, they were down by more than 15, I'm pretty sure. So jump ball. When they kick off the third quarter, 48-31 UConn. The closest it looks like UCLA got was 52-38 deficit the entire third quarter. So $2 if you please. And if it happens to be a $2 bill, I will take that as well.
Should have just
I might
had
just
me...
save it somewhere.
Should have just had me pay for your donuts.
Well, we didn't even think about that. Well, I should have brought it up at the time, but I wanted to show you where you went wrong. I didn't want to just call you out on it and then...
That is the sound...
That's the sound of hard green cash. Cold green cash. Straight cash, homie. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure mm-hmm. doing business with you.
Yeah.
So, anyways, UConn rolled over UCLA. We'll probably roll over whoever else they play. Congratulations to Gino Auriemma and the UConn Lady Huskies for winning another national championship.
Congratulations on the Lady Huskies for winning, Zach, $2.
We have yet to go into the Final Four, but I'm just going to go ahead and call it right now. Speaking of that, by the way, I know you haven't gotten to pay much attention to the guys' side of things. South Carolina is in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I saw this coming from a mile away. I don't want to say I'm the only one, but I probably was. Frank Martin is an incredible coach. I like Frank the Tank. I don't know. He just seems like a honest person. You ask him a question, he'll give you an honest
it's
answer.
Kind of the MO of those South Carolina, or at least maybe former South Carolina coaches.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, he's not nearly as. I don't even know how to explain Steve Spurrier. He's just the head ball coach.
Yeah.
So, Frank Martin, I like him. I like watching him coach. He's very passionate. He is scary as hell, but seems like a genuinely nice person, at least if you're on his good side. If you get on his bad side, I wouldn't want to be. But he's coached that team to a Final Four, which is amazing. And the fact that you had how many teams... Out of the SEC, you had three teams in the Elite Eight. Now you got one going to the Final Four. It's pretty dang cool. But, yeah, I had Kansas, by the way, picked to win it all, and they got dethroned by the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, I had Villanova.
Yeah, which I remember, if I recall correctly, we were talking about a bracket, and I think I would pick them the first one seed to get bounced. And sure enough, got that one right, too. Good thing you didn't bet any money on that one. So anyways, we got that going on. We going to talk spring training? You want to talk spring training?
Yeah, tell me a little bit about... So, Zach, like we mentioned earlier, you know, abandoned all of us here in College Station and went out to sunny Arizona for spring training, for a little getaway time with some friends out there. And, yeah, tell us about that Arizona life.
Yeah, the weather out there, by the way, was amazing. It was like 81, 82 tops, which it was actually cooler out there than it was here. And I'd been there in August as well, so I know what it feels like when it's really hot. And believe me, it's really hot. But no, the weather was great, and we did go to a ball game one day. The Colorado Rockies and Arizona Diamondbacks share a facility, Salt River, the fields at Talking Stick, I think, Salt River Fields. Gorgeous ballpark, by the way. I actually asked somebody who lived there, one of our friends who is really into baseball, that lives there in Scottsdale, and I asked her, what do they do in the off season with this place? And she didn't know. But I can't imagine, I mean, like if a college played there, I know Arizona State has their own ball club, but or their own ballpark, but if college or high school or anybody, because, I mean, it is a gorgeous facility. That being said, went and saw the Diamondbacks take on the Los Angeles Angels. Of Anaheim. We were right behind the Angels dugout on first base side. And Mike Socha was close enough, I could have shot him with a spit wad, which I should have. Because, yeah, Mike Socha. But, no, Trout played, Pujols played. So being that close to those guys as a fan, I wasn't there in a working capacity, obviously. So being there that close as a fan was really, really cool to watch. And great seats. The only thing, so we had this Nazi of an usher, this little old lady named Mary. And she was a spitfire, let me tell you. She did
so you
not,
probably shouldn't have shot a spit wad at Mike
she
Socha.
She did not take crap from anyone. And if you were in the wrong seats, then your butt was grass, if you know what I mean.
Which sounds silly, because I've been out to spring training, and, you know, the ballparks typically aren't empty by any stretch of the imagination,
no.
But they're certainly not
It's spring training.
Full.
It's spring training.
Usually you have enough room to kind of spread out and relax a little bit.
Yeah, well, there was close to 10,000, because obviously the Diamondbacks being a home team.
It's
and
true.
The Angels, there's a lot of California transplants that live in the Phoenix area. Plus, a lot of folks come in from out of town like I did. So we're sitting there. I'll tell you how this all got started. We're right behind the dugout, and I put my feet up on the dugout like a normal person does because it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my feet on the back of the dugout. She comes down. She goes, "Your feet don't belong on the dugout. Your drink doesn't belong on the dugout. Your phone doesn't belong on the dugout."
I don't get
And
the
that's
phone.
What she said. And I'm just sitting there, and again, this lady just crept up on me and says this.
So she's a ninja, too.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay. So I take my foot off, and I'm thinking, why on earth do I need to take my foot off the dugout? Are they worried about me damaging the concrete dugout, the roof of it?
Maybe it's like, you know, in hockey, you don't step on the logo
floor. It was stupid. It was stupid, and I the only thing I can think of is because of safety reasons, but I don't see how having your feet up on the dugout's any less safe than just sitting there and taking a foul ball to the face. it either way, you're done for. It doesn't really
yeah.
matter. If anything, my foot could at least block it, because I'm not going to catch it. So, anyways.
What, you didn't bring your glove?
No, I didn't bring my glove.
Your
but,
glove that has all kinds of nasty black
now
goop in it?
Okay, so we talked about spring football practice. It gets very monotonous at times. And so we show up beforehand, and we're there at the coach's discretion. We're not
yeah.
there. We're told a certain time to be there. We show up at that certain time. The coaches may call practice at that time. They may wait another 30, 45
We've waited up to like about an hour and 10 minutes, I think.
So you're just sitting there with absolutely nothing to do.
Inside the indoor practice facility.
So we decided that we would bring our gloves and throw the baseball around.
Play a little catch.
Which in hindsight was probably a bad idea, because I got to running a lot and I'm a sweater.
Yeah.
I sweated a lot.
Yeah. Well, and so when I was, I film all the interviews, the press conferences, whatever you want to call
with
them.
With your little phone camera thing.
Yeah, well, at that time I think I went full camcorder.
Oh.
But I was just using the onboard mic on it, and I didn't realize until I was editing the video later that, you know, that I'm standing next to the camcorder, and if I've been running around, you can basically just hear me panting throughout the entire interview because I'm standing right next to the microphone.
Oh, really?
So that's another drawback of, you know, being old and throwing the ball before work.
And so some dog shows up and we're about to interview him. And I'm sweating profusely out of my head, and I had taken my glove off, and again, this is an old, ratty, mildewed glove. I don't know what happened to my, I gotta find my good glove, but this is an old glove that I've had forever. It's probably rotten, whatever, and it's a black glove, and it left this black residue all over my hand, so it basically looks like I've been working in a coal mine. Or at least my hand has. My left hand has been working in a coal mine, and I'm just sweating. It's pouring out of my forehead. And Sumlin kind of noticed right when he got there. He kind of looks at me like, what's wrong with you? Are you okay?
Don't worry. We've just been watching Cops.
Yeah. So anyway. So, and needless to say, I was trying to catch my breath the whole time, so I didn't ask any questions. But
yeah.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah. Hey, I was impressed with, you know, I had not thrown a ball in about a year, and you know, we're both old baseball guys, so you know, we our arms probably don't need that much loosening up. But I went out there and threw it around with you a little bit, and you were wanting to just back it up and air that sucker out, and you had me there halfway through. But you were like in mid-season form with your long toss.
Oh,
I had to tap out.
Yeah, I'm able to use my weight to my advantage now. Much like Bartolo Colon. So I got that going on. Yeah, my arm wasn't as sore as I thought it might be. Because I was kind of worried. I was like, crap, my arm's going to be hanging, dangling, feel like it's going to fall off.
Sure. So here, going a little bit back to your Arizona spring training trip.
Before we get completely off
right.
the rails.
So the... Just having watched a whole lot of A&M baseball this year, and A&M baseball, for those of you who haven't been to a game this year or the past handful... Those games last a really long time and can get a little monotonous because there's a lot of pitching changes. There's a lot of mound visits and whatnot. So that's just kind of the baseball, of course, we're used to right now because that's the only baseball going on in our realms. I've been to spring training. Does it not get a little monotonous? Because there is a lot usually of position changes. And pitching changes.
Yeah, there was a lot of position changes, but the thing is they do it in the half inning. I mean, it's not one of those deals where you just sit there and you get the pitching change in the middle of the inning. Generally, they let the guys pitch through it. It was I think, a 4-2 ball game was the final, and it was a little over 3 hours because Arizona lost, so they had to bat the bottom of the ninth. If they hadn't have had to bat, then obviously it would have been shorter. But, no, it wasn't bad, and like I said, the weather was amazing, and the sun eventually went behind the top of the pavilion there, and we were in the shade. So I hate this. I came in yesterday morning. I had a 5:20 a.m. flight from Phoenix yesterday. I'm all kinds of topsy-turvy. And it's 2 hours behind because they don't have daylight savings. So they're on West Coast time out there. And so I fly in. I get to Dallas about 9:39 Central. And anyways, go through all that. But I hated that my flight was so early because the Rockies, as I talked about, the Diamondbacks share that facility with the Rockies. The Rockies played the Rangers yesterday at noon, and I wish that my flight had been like at 5:20 p.m. versus 5:20 a.m. That way I could have seen the Rangers play. But no, the stadium was gorgeous. It's got a lot of little fields around it for anybody who's acquainted with how spring training works. I mean, a lot of it's just working guys out. So you had some players that were just kind of off by themselves on some of the fields, were throwing the ball around and doing drills and things like that. But then you had the big stadium, which is where they were having the game.
A lot of PFP fields.
Pitchers
fielding position.
Pretty much.
Practice. Pitchers fielding practice. PFP.
And the Giants stadium was also there. That's something else, too, is you've got a lot of these stadiums and facilities are in Scottsdale, but they're all around. Peoria, I think, has somebody plays out there. The Rangers play in Surprise, which is about 30.
That's about one of the farthest.
Yeah,
out.
It's about 35, 40 minutes northwest of Phoenix, downtown Phoenix. So
one of those stadiums was infested with bees. Did you hear about that?
Oh, no.
I think it was the Dodgers or something like that.
Oh, that's scary.
There's
you don't
bees
mess around
everywhere.
With bees, man.
No.
Especially Africanized bees.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I didn't hear about that. There were no bees to speak of. Okay. I did see a butterfly floating around.
Oh,
so it was
well.
Cute. Yeah, and then it got hit by a pitch. Exploded like the bird that Randy Johnson hit. But it was a lot of fun.
At least it's better than ladybugs, because I'm sick of those.
Yeah, but overall, it was a really good experience. I had a lot of fun, obviously. Food-wise, got to go to some really good places. Old Town in Scottsdale is a really cool place, by the way. If you've ever gotten a chance to go, a lot of bars and clubs and things like that. I'm not really a club guy, so to speak, so we went to some bars. And
The last time I was in the greater Phoenix area was the 2009
Fiesta Bowl.
And it was one of the first big-time road business trip type things I went on. It was with the student paper, and it was me and our photographer, and we totally just blew that trip because we were staying in, I think, the media hotel, and as a part of the whole Fiesta Bowl experience, they had like a whole, and this was before Uber and everything like that,
yeah.
They had a whole driver car service that was just for the media, and they gave you a card, and you could call this number 24 hours, and a car would show up and take you anywhere you wanted
to go.
Oh,
wow, that's nice.
And we'd never used it.
What?
I know. I mean, it's something later, I think we were just, just worried about making sure we got our job done and doing all that kind of stuff and didn't want to ruffle
you
any
all,
feathers.
You were all just focused on your work.
Yeah.
That's your problem.
Yeah, and in hindsight, we could have gone anywhere we wanted.
You could have driven to Tucson, for all you know. Which I don't know what's in Tucson other than University of Arizona.
Yeah.
But no, Old Town Scottsdale, very cool. Of course, it was packed to the gills with a ton of fans.
Is that
the
big shopping center? There's a big shopping center, not like a mall, but like an outdoor. Because there were some festival events that happened.
Kind of like
there.
An outlet?
Yeah.
Outlet mall? There were a bunch of shops and stuff, but like I said, there's a bunch of restaurants and bars, too. So anyways, and then the last time I was there, we went to Long Wong's, which apparently is a well-known wing place.
Pardon me?
It's called Long Wong's. I know. That's what I noticed first. And it said it's Phoenix renowned or whatever. Apparently, it's a lot of folks know about it. But it's a I believe it's owned by a Chinese family that makes hot wings, which, not to sound too stereotypical, but you normally don't put those two together. That being said, the hot wings were freaking delicious. I'm talking like Pluckers
was
style.
Do they have different flavors?
Yeah. I got the gold. Okay. I got the Danny special, which I think Danny Wong is who owns it.
Okay.
I got the Danny special, which I got Cajun seasoned fries. And then I got 10 wings of flavor of my choice, and they had spicy barbecue, hot, regular, gold. That's what I got was the gold. And then I think they had teriyaki.
I rocked the teriyaki.
My friend had like spicy barbecue with sesame seeds on the chicken.
Okay.
It was really good.
Okay.
All of it was really good.
Well, there you go.
So if you are ever in the Phoenix area, I highly recommend going to Long Wong's.
There you go. Well, on that note, I think that's all the time we have for the My Aggie Nation podcast. Thanks so much for Lexi Smith for jumping on and talking a little A&M softball with us. I guess we have to wish her good luck on singing that national anthem.
In
2 weeks, because you should go out and listen to that national anthem and hear her sing in not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
You know how she didn't ask us to provide backup either?
Hey, We could have done that.
We could make like a barbershop. Well, we couldn't do a quartet. There'd only be three. We get Keeley on there.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. That'll work. So be sure to go check that out. We got Pro Day. We got Friday Night Lights. We'll have so much football to talk about next week. You won't even know what to do with yourself. And we have softball and baseball keeping things rolling this week, so be sure to go and check that out. We'll have plenty to talk about with that next week. For Zach Taylor, I'm Travis Brown. This is the My Aggie Nation Podcast. We'll see you next week.
It seems like every day, everything just has a way to must have it seems. But if we don't watch what we're doing, our hearts will get ruined by silly things. sticking with